Gone are the days of knights and chivalry, and yet that hasn't changed God's vision of you as a man of valor. Today, pornography is a simple mouse click away, and sexual addiction is at an epidemic level. Dr. Mark Laser is an internationally known author and speaker, the leading Christian authority on sexual addiction, and the host of Faithful and True's new online radio production, The Men of Valor Program. Here now is Dr. Mark Laser.
Welcome to the Men of Valor program. Today, Randy, we're going to dig deep into the history of the 12-step movements and talk about a device that people have used for many, many years to get and stay sober, the three circles.
It seems like a concept that is constantly used in your teachings here and is proven to be quite effective.
Well, yeah, it's been one of the themes of the week here. As the men look in an ongoing way for kind of like a blueprint for some of the things that they should be doing. And also we find in our couples work, it's very helpful for a spouse to have a really good idea of what the plan is for the addict to get and maintain his sobriety.
And how does this three-circle concept work?
Well, first of all, we're going to have the listeners either imagine in their mind what this looks like, because it's actually a diagram or a schematic that we put on a piece of paper. Maybe I'm thinking, and I should have checked with you before we went on the air, but maybe we could put a visual of this on our website.
Sure.
Okay. So those of you that are listening that want to check out our website and see that, there'll be some kind of a link to go to that, I suppose.
Sure. We can create that, and I'll link it next to the show.
You know, radio personalities are always saying, you know, go to my website, go to my link, click on something. So now I feel more official. We now have something to click on. All right. So that the visual is, though, that the three circles are three concentric circles that basically look like a bullseye. So there's an inner circle. The next circle is generally referred to as the middle circle. And then the third circle is called the outer circle. And sometimes, and this goes back to, like I said, the history of it in the 12-step programs, the inner circle is referred to as the red circle, the middle circle is the yellow circle, and the outer circle is the green circle. Red for stop, yellow for caution, green for go. All right. So let's start, obviously, at the beginning, and that is the red circle or the inner circle. And the inner circle of this three-circle plan will always define the behaviors, or in some cases, the substances that an addict is trying to stop. So for an alcoholic, they would be generally saying, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. Now, some alcoholics get even more specific about beer or wine or, you know, whatever hard liquor they tend to abuse the most. Food addicts, you know, would use this to look at not stopping all eating, because you can't. But they would perhaps look at, you know, certain kinds of food.
The harmful foods that they're eating.
Right. And, you know, processed foods, white flour is something that some food addicts try to avoid.
Deep fried foods.
Well, that's in your inner circle, I would imagine.
Well, it is. It's a part of our regular menu at our house, I'm afraid.
I see. So everybody's a little bit different, as you can see, in terms of what they might put in that inner circle. For the men that we work with here who are trying to establish sexual purity, sexual fidelity, the red circle, the inner circle, is going to define all of the sexual behaviors that they're going to stop. If you're married and so forth, you know, sexual desires we've talked about so often on this show is a natural instinct. We're not trying to stop all sexual desire. We're trying to stop certain sexual lust, sexual fantasy, and sexual behaviors. So it's very important for a recovering sex addict or a person who's trying to maintain sexual purity to define the things that they're going to stop. And we generally here, just to help the men get a grasp of this, we generally will use an acronym called MAP, M-A-P, and MAP stands for masturbation, adultery, and pornography. So not going to get into the masturbation piece right now. We've done shows on that before. Go to the archives if you want to see our thinking about why you might want to stop that. It is a highly controversial one, even in the field. There's some people who believe that it should be stopped at all costs. There's other people who believe, what's the big deal? It's not a problem. Everybody does it. That kind of thing. And this, you know, again, points to the fact that, you know, everybody needs to define their own program and what is important for them. Adultery is an interesting one in the sense that when we refer to it, we're thinking not just about physical adultery, sexual adultery, but we're thinking also about emotional adultery, meaning that you're having an emotional relationship with another person. So you're sharing things with another person you're not sharing with your spouse, that kind of thing. Pornography, also, you know, it's a broad topic. I mean, there are certain things that everybody would say is pornographic, you know, certain obviously explicit material, whether it's on the internet or in print or in video form or in a movie or whatever it is. Then we get into controversy about, you know, are certain kinds of art or whatever, are they pornographic? I think here again, every addict needs to define what are they stopping, you know. We had a guy the other night in group saying he was needing to stop watching The Price is Right. Well, The Price is Right, historically.
He's attracted to Drew Carey?
Thank you, Randy. That might be true if he had a same-sex attraction. Although now I've noticed, I've only watched The Price is Right once or twice in the last several years, but I did notice the one time I was watching it over at the health club the other day that they now do have a male model after all these years.
Of Barker's Babes.
Barker's Beauties.
Oh,
Randy.
Sorry.
Well, you know, the models on that show were obviously something that were causing this particular individual to lust. I found it interesting because I was remembering back in the history of my stuff, one of the models on that show became the number one selling Playboy video of a given year. So, you know, I don't know. If you're watching something on television and it creates feelings of sexual lust, then that is pornographic for you, and that's something that you will want to stop doing if you're trying to maintain sexual fidelity. So again, for those of you that are listening that are struggling with these things, I think it is very important for you to very specifically list the kinds of behaviors, or in some cases, other addicts might be listening to this show, substances that you're avoiding.
And that's going to go right in the middle of your target there, right in the middle of that red circle.
Right in the middle of the red circle. You're going to write that in. We think it's important for you, if you're married or in a primary relationship, to let your spouse know exactly what that is, so that from that point on, if you were to say, like I would say to my wife Debbie, if I say to her, I'm sober for 25 plus years, I'm sober today or whatever it is, she knows exactly what it is I haven't done. So I don't have to say, well, you know, I didn't look at pornography today, I didn't masturbate today, I didn't, you know, have an affair today. I can just use a shorthand now if I've got it listed and I've communicated it. Where I've sometimes seen some controversy is that some of the groups out there are so concerned about codependency, they basically say that your program is your program, you should define it for yourself, you don't necessarily need to communicate it to your spouse. We don't agree with that. If you violated your spouse, particularly with infidelity, I think you need to let her know what you've decided to stop doing.
Well, and she is a huge part of your healing journey. She has her own issues that need to be resolved and healed as well. So involving her is key to your long-term success.
Well, I look at it as a form of service, really, that, you know, most of the people listening to the show, whether they're addicts or spouses, you know, would have to fully recognize that if an addict has committed an act of infidelity, from pornography to adultery, that it's caused a great deal of hurt, pain, woundedness to the spouse. And the spouse is going to have a heightened sense of anxiety as the couple moves into the future about whether the addict will ever do that again.
Well, and having her totally informed, this is right along the lines of on earlier shows you've made references to, and we have an e-product available on the website about full disclosure.
That's right. So this somewhat does assume that the offender, the addict, the person who's committed some act of infidelity has fully disclosed what that infidelity is all about. So it becomes then very clear to the spouse if the guy says, here's what I'm stopping, she'll understand that this has been a problem in the past.
Exactly.
And it is an act of service to help volunteer this information. It helps the spouse with their sense of anxiety. You will find that if you are regularly proactive in letting your spouse know what you're not doing, it'll allow her to stop asking you. And I think most of the men that I work with would recognize that that's probably a very good thing.
Well, and there's probably has to be a bit of a sense of relief in the mind of the man, knowing that she's well aware of what those key trigger points are for him.
Yeah, well, a lot of the couples are, you know, battling issues about control and that kind of thing. And I've always found that if I am proactive in letting Debbie know what's going on, then it eases her anxiety. She doesn't need to ask. She doesn't seem controlling. And, you know, that's good for the relationship.
Right. Well, Mark, as we go to break here, when we come back, we're going to have you describe to us the meaningfulness of the other two of these three circles. And when we come back, believe it or not, I have a trigger of the week that I'd like to share with our audience today.
All right.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Mark Laser. I'm Randy Everett, your co-host, and you're listening to the Men of Valor program. Well, Mark, let's get back to today's topic of the three circles. You started the program by giving a great description of what that red circle, the center of the target, what that represents.
Well, you know, actually, the trigger of the week is a segue, because the middle circle, or the yellow circle, is danger zone. It's activities, thoughts in your head that will lead you into the inner circle if you don't get out of those thoughts and activities. So I generally divide it into three separate categories. There are what we generally refer to as rituals. Everybody who commits some kind of sexual infidelity, sexual sin, has a ritual that goes from the thought of that to actually doing it. And it may simply involve turning on the TV set. It may involve clicking on the computer. It may involve surfing the net. It may involve waiting for your wife to go to bed so that you can stay up later and look at the internet or watch TV or then later masturbate. It could be that if you have affairs, you have rituals for doing that. You know, you go to bars, you wear special clothes, you put ads on the internet. You know, they're all kind of different rituals. Those that get into particularly crazy type of sexual acting out, you know, they may need paraphernalia. You know, there's rituals that involve, in some cases, behaviors that take you to the place of acting out. I've also thought that part of rituals are your thought life that seeks to justify why it's okay for you to go ahead and act out. We sometimes refer to that as minimization, rationalization, entitlement. We don't have time to get into it today. We've talked about it on earlier shows. But it's the thought life that allows you to go from the idea of sexual acting out to actually acting out. So those are rituals, and it's very important for all the men who want to stay sexually faithful to know what those rituals are. And just like they're stopping certain things, they're also wanting to eliminate those rituals from their life.
So when they identify those rituals and they notice that they're leaning in that direction, how do you recommend that you handle that scenario?
Well, you know, we talk about in our field fire drills. Fire drills are like a fire department. You know, how much time does a fire department spend practicing, you know, practicing driving the truck, practicing uncoiling the hose, practice climbing buildings or ladders? So they practice. And then when an actual fire happens, they don't need to think about it so much. They just do it. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody on a sports team or lots of other activities know that the more time they spend practicing, the more automatic the behavior will become when they actually need it. So we say to men, you need to practice going to meetings, you need to practice making phone calls, you need to practice talking about this stuff. And the more you practice, even though you may say today I don't need to be doing that, but the more you drill, the more when some kind of five-alarm fire happens in your brain now,
You're prepared to handle it.
We'll more automatically know what to do. Not to mention the fact that if you're making calls, engaged in fellowship, going to meetings, now other men are going to be reaching out to you, and some things are going to be happening automatically. Sometimes when you need it, somebody else is going to be calling you. Fire drills are going to apply to the other two categories, too. The second category that I think about is the segue that we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, triggers. So triggers are, you know, most directly sexual stimuli that you encounter out there in the world. And, you know, the world is saturated with them, so we know that's going to happen multiple times every day. If you, you know, run across sexual stimuli, it's going to create sexual thoughts. That creates that that need for the fire drill. What we believe is important is that if you get triggered and it becomes an obsessive thought pattern, then for sure you should make some calls and get with some of your accountability buddies so that you can talk it out loud. You know, I've always believed and experienced for myself that when you speak it out loud, if you break the silence about what's going on, it tends to take the power away of whatever it is that caused it in the first place. So sexual triggers are rather obvious. There are other kind of triggers that will take us to associations in our brain. We've talked about associations in the brain before, too, on the show. But in other words, if you get triggered into your loneliness, into your anger, into your anxiety, into boredom or whatever else it would happen to be, if your brain has associations in it that, you know, sexual acting out is the neurochemical answer to loneliness, anger, boredom, whatever it is, then the emotional triggers of the world may trigger you into your sexual thoughts. So there again, you need to do your fire drills, make phone calls, go to meetings, get with people, talk out loud, those kinds of things.
Well, it's powerful that you say that, Mark, in the fact that triggers don't have to be visual.
That's right. They could be, well, you know, they could be any of the five senses and be still sexual triggers. In other words, you could have the smell of perfume might remind
exactly.
you of something.
Sure.
The touch, somebody touches you. A woman came up to me not so long ago at a speech and was just being friendly, just touched my arm. Well, you know, that could be a trigger if it, you know, reminds me of kindness or, you know, it might get me into one of my rituals. I might say something inappropriate to her, you know, that kind of thing. So triggers, sexual triggers can involve any of the five senses, but emotional triggers can, I think, sometimes be the most powerful triggers in that they make associations in our brain that causes us to go to sex as the solution to that emotion. So that's the trigger category. And then the final category that is talked about is vulnerabilities. And years and years and years ago, Alcoholics Anonymous identified an acronym called HALT, Hungry, Angry, Lonely, Tired. So basically, we know that if you're hungry or that your soul is longing for something, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, I would add bored to the acronym HALT B or something. But whatever emotion is going on for you, that might make you more vulnerable to using sex as a solution. So it's related to triggers, particularly emotional triggers.
And are we talking about this about the green circle now?
No, we're talking about still the middle circle
okay,
now.
Okay, you're still within that yellow middle
right.
circle. Okay.
That's right. So these are the three categories of things to think about in the middle circle. There are the rituals, there are the direct triggers, and then there are the vulnerabilities. Most of the men that I work with would notice, you know, one of the biggest triggers is if you're, or the biggest vulnerabilities is if you're tired. So if you haven't had enough rest or whatever, you've been overworked, overstressed, and you're tired, you're going to be more vulnerable.
Yeah. Your defenses are down.
That's exactly it. So there again, if, you know, a recovering person who's being successful will know how to recognize when they're more vulnerable. And, Will, in this case, now this segues us out into the outer circle. We'll know that they need to start doing some of the outer circle activities to get them out of the vulnerable places.
Okay.
So the outer circle, called the green circle, sometimes is all the positive activities that you're going to start doing. AA years ago put it, if you're going to stop something, which we're trying to do in the middle and inner circle, then start something. The men that I work with are easily bored. They're very creative. So if they only stop something, they're going to be more bored. Their creativity is going to be frustrated. So we need to do positive things. And sometimes we refer to the outer circle as self-care. So if one of the vulnerabilities, for example, and this is the segue, is being tired, then maybe one of the activities you're going to do in the outer circle is get some rest. All the neuroscientists would tell us that, you know, everybody needs at least 7 hours of sleep a night. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be more vulnerable. So rest is probably part of self-care. Exercise could be part of self-care. We obviously think about things like going to counseling, having a support group, meditating, working on your relationship. One that I think a lot of people don't think about a lot is recreation, you know, having fun. When you think about the fact that one of the rituals for a lot of the men or the people that I deal with is that feeling of entitlement. So, you know, I deserve a break today. I need to do something nice for myself today. I've had a bad day. I deserve for something nice to happen. Basically, in some ways, what they're longing to do is something nice for themselves, something fun for themselves. And so we encourage that in the outer circle, you have things that you do for yourself that are fun, that are exciting, that might be recreational, that are healthy. So if you like reading, you know, buy yourself a book. If you have a hobby, you know, participate in that hobby. Do something nice for yourself. Now, there is a danger for some that that something that starts out maybe not being too addictive. Well, you know, Best Buy for me, for example, I always pick on Best Buy because they're so prevalent around here. But for me, you know, electronics is, you know, a lot of fun. I could get easily hooked into going over there way too much. But the listeners, I think, you know, should just pause for a moment and say, what is it, you know, on a daily basis that I'm doing for myself that's a matter of self-care, that's nice, that's fun, that might be recreational, that is, in fact, healthy? And I think every day we need to have some of these activities built into our life.
Now, that same concept can also be a very strong relationship builder if you're involving your spouse or significant other in that activity. Right. So, you know, just that opportunity to, as you are dealing with these issues and you're trying to do good things for yourself, but also good things for your relationship by involving your wife.
Well, I think it's one of the saddest things that we sometimes see here when we're doing marriage work is that the couples have completely forgotten how to have fun. You know, they don't have recreation. Even when they were dating, they may have just been going through the cultural rituals, like going to the dances, the proms, or whatever else it was. They went to movies, or you know, they hung out. They in some ways have forgotten how to be childlike and have fun. In the early days, Debbie and I used to roll down hills, swing on swings, have snowball fights. Do the kind of things that kids would do. Lately, we've taken dancing lessons. We play golf together. We do home remodeling. Why are you laughing, man? You're laughing because, about my golf game.
No,
that's what it is.
I'm not. You walked in the other day and had a snowball in your hand, which you tossed to me. Thank you very much. As I was behind my desk. So I was laughing at the idea that it's May and there's snow in the forecast.
Well, you know, here in Minnesota there is.
Yeah.
Well, the truth of it is, even on that day, which was probably like a couple of weeks ago, I was having one of those vulnerabilities in the middle circle. I was angry about the weather here in Minnesota.
And you chose me to take it out on.
Well, but here's the point. I would have said that, you know, I could throw a snowball at somebody, or I could be playful, make a snowball, bring it into the center, and just toss it to somebody. So that's what I elected to
do. As I was cleaning the snow off my forehead, I thought, That was playful.
Well, even as we're laughing about something like that, you see, I think in the outer circle, it is good to have activities in your life that you laugh about, that right. you have fun about. And as couples, I think it's incredibly important to either learn for the first time or to learn again how to almost be childlike together and have fun. It improves so many other qualities of our relationship.
Well, Mark, I think that today's discussion has been extremely helpful for our listeners. Are there any other key points that you want to make sure that we fit in as we're wrapping things up?
Well, yes. There's one main thing that I'd like the listeners to think about, and that is when we talk about accountability, and we have quite a bit on this show, this three circle plan is definitely something that you want to show to your accountability partners. You want to tell them what you're stopping, what, you know, like your rituals and vulnerabilities and triggers are. You also want to tell them what all the positive things you want to start doing. And Romans 7:15, Paul says, you know, the good that I would, I don't do, the evil that I hate, that's what I do. So if we don't do positive things, it's going to make us more vulnerable to do the negative things. But the key is to have accountability people in your life that are not just reminding you about what you're stopping, but also encouraging you about what you're starting or what you're committing to do that's positive.
And we hope that you've got these accountability partners in your life. We invite you to visit faithfulandtrue.com for more resources, more information about the work that we do here at Faithful and True, as well as all the information about our intensive workshops for men, spouses, and couples. Want to remind you one more time that next week you're not going to want to miss the show as we have Dr. Daniel Amen from the Amen Clinic joining us. It promises to be a great show. Until then, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to the Men of Valor program with Dr. Mark Laser. For information about this program or to learn more about Faithful and True, visit us at faithfulandtrue.com. That's faithfulandtrue.com.